love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist in New York City tonight. Drew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, buddy. Jeff Probst here tonight from Survivor. What up, Drew?
Hey, Jeff.
My favorite show is Drew Knows.
You can do the dance for him?
I do the dance every Thursday night in front of the TV set. Although it's tough at the beginning because there's a lot of survivors,
yeah,
and it goes on longer, and you know, I vomited halfway into it last time. But I got my own tribal dance I do, and absolutely my favorite show. And what I was saying last night, Jeff, was I was amazed that you were able to remember everyone's name, especially at the top, because. You know, if you think about it, 16 people at the beginning, right? You could remember the 16 people's names in week number 9.
Maybe.
But the thing is, maybe. But I know, because once in a while I come in here and I look at Engineer Chris and it's just a 1,000 names scroll by in my stone Rolodex. I have no idea. And then it comes out like this. Give me a warm-up, kid. That's how it ends up. Michelle here tonight, though, yeah? Not Michelle, right?
Right.
That's right.
Nice.
So here's my point. The 16 I could remember in week 9, but week 1 I wouldn't know the 16, and that's the hardest time. I mean, you have the least time to familiarize yourself, yeah, with everyone. What do? You study?
I go over these little cards, but I've blanked before.
Oh, you have? I've never seen it.
Yeah, because, well, it's the same thing. You're thinking of a million things, and names usually, like, I know your name because I've seen you on TV a million times, so I look at you and I instantly know your name. But if you're brand new, you're right. You're thinking of something else, and you go, the guy with the dark hair is,
Oh, man. I'd be like, hey, guy, dude, bro, and what's his nose, and Nike, and Jap Flaps. Yeah, over here.
I just look in between three people, and I go, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for somebody to answer.
Yeah. Drew does that, too, when he says, I agree with the guest. That means he doesn't know. Doesn't know the guest's name.
I love these little tells.
Yeah. So,
don't you find that you have agreements with all your friends, which is you walk into a party, and the first thing you say is, if I don't introduce you in the first nanosecond, stick your hand out and say my name
is. What you need a wife for.
Tried it 1,000 times. They always fail miserably.
Yes.
And then you find yourself getting distracted because you're angry at them. Because
what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, and then they
because
they
it always around. Becomes about it always becomes about well you didn't introduce me.
Yeah, I know
because I don't remember the name.
I gave the whole speech. I gave the entire scenario, and it played out just exactly as I painted it out in the parking lot. And nothing. You came through with nothing.
And the thing is, we're rarely that person. People probably tend to know you. So they say, hey, Adam, I want you to meet my wife.
Yeah, well, because you do the same, I guess, which is we don't play the wacky neighbor on the UPN sitcom. I don't get called by my character name. If they know me, they know my name because that's the one I use
and
whatever
I
do.
Everybody's outraged that Vice President Cheney didn't remember that he sat next to Edwards at a couple of occasions. Are you kidding? This guy must meet 1,000 people a day. He's not going to remember
anybody. No, I like
anybody.
That. You know what that means? It means he's thinking and not kissing ass. I like that.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
He couldn't possibly have forgotten meeting him. He was lying. It's like, no, I don't. I barely remember meeting Jeff. Barely.
The guy said 70 surgeries and he's 80 years old. Please cut him some slack. So let's talk Survivor.
All right.
Yes. First off, they voted off Dolly.
We were all sorry.
Hot blonde so early. It's how you know the game isn't rigged because they consistently vote the hot chicks off early. And if the game was in any way being manipulated by the network, that would never happen.
And it's a good thing it's a good thing we can't rig it because we're all sitting there going, it's looking like Dolly? Really? Dolly? Well, you know, let's think about this for a second. Why do we have to have a tribal council? I'm just throwing out an idea. Do we have to vote somebody out tonight?
Night one. Please. The jury's way out. give her a break. She's a little sheep farmer, Dolly.
I know, with those tight little black shorts. Let me tell you. And our cameramen are expert at doing this. You have a balance beam. Okay, we get lucky, and all the girls, instead of walking across, decide to shimmy across. Okay, that's money in the bank.
Right.
Because you've got, now you're prone.
Right.
So our guys are so good, they can find a shot of Dolly's buttocks, which by itself will never make air. CBS will find it too graphic. But in a nice fluid motion, you come over that butt, and then you go up to Scout, who's, you know, in her 60s, and you end on her face, and we've got a nice shot.
Now you got parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parody.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Survivor. Is this 9?
Yeah.
Is this the 9th? Maybe it was the 7. A lot of sack and boob, and you know, it's essentially guys. It's essentially you doing an obstacle course in a hotel towel.
Yeah,
I mean that's basically what half of it is. True, just tiling everything out, and some of it in positions that weren't flattering even for attractive people, and these were fellas.
And guys never look good naked.
I mean,
that was the dumbest thing on Survivors when the three guys in the Pearl Islands dropped their shorts thinking they were studs, and they looked like idiots.
Yeah, that's bad time. The sack is not. It's really the least attractive part. Not on a man or a woman, but just in the animal kingdom. Even in the insect world and the invertebrate world, Drew.
Cylinderates have nothing on the sack.
It is it's an invertebrate, isn't the sack? Because I look at it as a separate being.
Well, it has a mind of its own, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it does.
All right, so Thursday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS, and a big earthquake, which I thought was an earthquake with a volcano or a volcano that caused an earthquake. That was just confusing editing on their part.
I think the volcano was going off because the world was shaking.
But the
volcano is going off all the time.
Wow.
That thing just is going. But we had this 5.7 earthquake. And there's one person was in interview.
Right.
Being interviewed for one of those reality quiet moments where they say, you know, so-and-so doesn't know it, but they're going to get it tonight. And that was our best shot because you really see. And then you start seeing the coconuts falling, and then you got all these faces. And we all felt it. We were at a challenge waiting on them to get there, and the entire ground just started.
Really?
Yeah, like you're in L.A.
Were people worried about a tsunami or something of that effect?
We weren't, but they had a cyclone through there, I think, 2 months before we got there and wiped out the place.
Now, where are you? And I think I asked you this last time, but you're always in different places. How far away are you from the camp? You're at a camp, essentially, right?
Well, we had, on this one, we kind of just took over this little town, Fate. And so we were in three different makeshift hotels.
Right.
I was at one, some of the crew was at another, some of the crew was at a third. So we're a ways from them, a long ways away.
Right.
There was a lot of driving this time, actually. We would drive out to a challenge area and either have the challenge there, or we'd drive out to that area, then get on a boat and travel out to another area. So it was a lot, long distance.
How much work, the locales are so exotic and so, like, exquisite, and so you would never get a chance to go there. I mean, it doesn't seem to be on any travel agent's docket.
Right.
So what an opportunity, number one, and what an experience. But number two, what is a day like for you there? Because it's not a challenge every day.
I have a question before you get onto that. Difference between a cyclone and a hurricane. You mentioned a cyclone came through there.
I think cyclones are hurricanes that take place that hit trailers. Is that what it is?
That's tornadoes. Tornadoes are hurricanes.
Yeah, what is? But they have cyclone fencing in the Midwest.
I have no idea. I only know I got there and they said a cyclone came through here.
I think a cyclone may be a twister, Drew.
Are you in the southern hemisphere?
Yes.
I think cyclones are hurricanes in the southern hemisphere.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's good.
Maybe. I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Please do.
Okay.
Now, so what is a take your sweet
what's
time,
a day like?
Please.
Here we go.
No, that's good. But what is? I mean, I'm sure there's something to do most days. But if there's not a challenge and there's not a tribal council,
if there's nothing for me to do,
right?
I go diving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he told us this last time.
Sleep.
Yeah,
awesome.
So you don't.
There's not a bunch of prep for whatever.
There's prep. It's
there isn't.
Okay.
There is prep.
I get it.
No, there is some prep in that you're always prepping the show and the challenges and stuff like
sure.
that. And
while, we rehearse while you're them. Diving and beating off, yeah. you're prepping.
Yeah.
I'm porn. The same way with this show.
You know what? This is the first time I have ever downloaded porn directly from an internet site where I didn't bring it with me.
Oh, yeah. But I would travel with a steamer trunk full of porn, and I would have, like, backup and a generator.
Next time.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught out in the wilderness.
No, and our internet connection's so damn slow, I'd have to start it at 8 a.m. and come back at 8 p.m. to get, like, 3 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, it's called Survivor. It's, you know, you're living off the land, my friend.
But, you know.
Ultimate challenge for me.
This was an island full of not the most attractive locals.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I saw the. We can't judge. All cultures are beautiful. I saw the one guy who was going to who was going. This was last week. It was really amazing, by the way, Drew. Which was. The survive, you know, they do the reward challenge, and it's usually, you know, some blankets or some fishing tackle or hopefully some food or something like that. And this time, they win a large black man. and it's like, what are you going to do with this big black guy? And it's like, he's Da, and he's a native, and he knows how to survive off the island, and he'll teach you guys for 24 hours. He'll show you the ways of the land. And I was sort of, I looked at my wife, and I was like, fine, please, give me a picnic basket. I don't want this dude here. And this guy was amazing, Drew. He showed him, you know, what plants to eat, how to do this. He took bamboo and he whacked it up and he made it into like a bed for like a mattress. Wow. I mean,
did you see the first
thing? Crazy.
The first thing he did, how he scaled that palm tree.
He walked up a tree like a bat, upside down. He was hanging down.
It really was impressive.
Toes wrapped around the thing. I swear to Christ.
And one other thing he did is he took a coconut, he held it in his palm, and he did three quick chops, and he took off the top, and he was drinking.
Yep.
And after that challenge was over, the challenge finished, and they all left, and he was getting ready to go over and be with the women. And I said, hey, show me the rock star move on the
coconut. Right.
So he hands me his machete. I take the first hit and slice my hand open. Blood's gushing out.
No.
It was a 6-stitch deal. And it just reminded me how easy that guy made living out there look.
Yeah. Barefoot, running around. We're running up a tree, Drew, not shimming, just ran over the tree.
Adam, though, do you think that when everybody first saw that, and this guy comes out, he's wearing basically a loincloth.
Yeah, it looked like he had a boner, actually, when he first walked out, because it was sticking up. It was like a garage door that got stuck halfway open. Like,
well,
hey, Darsh got a boner.
Doesn't everybody first
I turned to my wife and said, they're going to get raped.
Yeah.
All seven of these chicks getting raped tonight.
That's all you're thinking.
It'll show them the island. Yeah. Put their face right in the island. Hold still. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, maybe you get a sand crab while I'm raping you. Whatever. Yeah, that's course.
Oh,
was that
God.
What you're talking about? It's the first thing I said. First thing I said, and they're all
and
like,
"He's going to the women's tribe."
I know, and they were like, "Duh, I mean, duh," and they were crying when he was leaving.
They sang him a song,
like a hymn. It was powerful, man. Drew. It was very powerful.
So we did rape them all.
Yes, evidently did. All right, so a big earthquake. Tomorrow night, and a volcano going off, and just now, are you there for how many more days than the 32 days?
About five or six. As little as possible.
Right. So it's really, month and a week for you tops, pretty much.
About 6 weeks, yeah.
And going in, and it's an improv. I mean, It's not scripted, obviously, and there's homework to do. But when the things tribal council's going or the challenge is going on, I mean, you don't need a teleprompter, you don't need any cards or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great gig,
It's a great gig. There, Drew's right. There really isn't much prep you can do.
Right.
You can think through some things, but I've thought through them enough. You know, I got a pretty good idea, and I'm involved in casting, so I know these guys, what their personalities are like.
Procedural stuff that you have got just completely greased.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a procedure the council and stuff. You can do that in your sleep now, so
Well, I was going to say,
ad-libbing around that a little bit, just making it more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it would might be nice to have a comedic voice on the show, you know, season 10. new sidekick.
Just a mental note, Adam. No calls tonight. There can be no calls. You are not to take any calls tonight.
Oh, really?
No calls.
Hold on, Jeff. You think you can tell me what to do from 3,000 miles away?
I do not want to take any calls.
Yeah? Well, how about I go to the phones right now? Okay,
Adam,
smart guy.
Do not pick
you just
call.
Earned yourself
not on this
a
show.
Call.
No.
No. Yeah, you earned yourself a call, Shauna. 15. Well, you're on Love Line now. How do you like me now, Drew?
I'm so mad at you. I'm so mad.
Yeah. You want me to take another call? Keep talking.
No.
Keep talking, big man.
Shauna.
Oh, man. He tried this last night. I was talking about high school football for like 15 minutes, and he was really into it. And so he was so into it. That he was like, even though he'd heard the story a lot, he was like, I want to hear the rest of the story, so don't take any phone calls. I was like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to the phones. You know what I'm saying?
We know who's in charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy with the button.
Do not talk to Shauna. Do not talk to Shauna.
Shauna?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Drew? Any questions? Yeah. The jefe is in charge here. I'm the Jeff Probst of this island. Do you understand?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Shauna.
There's going to be a party on Halloween that I'm going to hopefully go to, but I'm kind of debating. And they're going to be auctioning off the girls for dates. And I was wondering if I should participate in that or not.
Hold on, Drew. Tell me not to go to another call.
Don't go to another call. Do not do it.
Wait a minute.
Is too exciting. Do not do
now
it.
Now I'm confused. I may. I'm gonna. Wait, I think I confused myself.
Is there anything awful about being auctioned off? Are you being auctioned to?
White slavery. Or Da, or who's going to get you?
I got 2, that'll be down 3 now. 3, you're getting me 4. I got 2, boy, that'll be down 4, now 4. Would you give me 5? Would you give me 5? That'll be down 5.
Who are you getting auctioned to, and what do you have to do for them?
Well, it's not just guys that can buy you. It's also girls. And it's not like, I'm okay with both sides, but it's just I'm afraid of it going too far.
Is the school sponsoring this, or is it just some...
It's just a
weird idea.
Having a party.
No.
There's a little more to this auction than Shauna's saying.
I don't
understand. Is this they do it in years past?
I don't know. It's
no, it's a friend's idea for a good party, Adam.
Oh, it is. All right. Yeah. Well, look, the money goes. Is there money involved?
Yes, the girls get the money supposedly.
Okay. Well, that's just called prostitution.
Yeah. Let's be clear about this.
All right, Shauna, you sound confused.
Yeah.
What's the matter,
upset.
Baby doll?
Why are you so upset?
Yeah, what's going on?
Hello, Shauna.
Drew, tell me not to take another call.
Don't do it. Shauna, is this the kind of party where you think you're gonna end up in a corner, so to speak, with a guy that you may or may not like and feel compelled to do something?
Yeah.
All right. Don't put yourself in that situation. Very simple.
Boy, really? There's like a 15
Do
Mississippi
not
count.
Take another call. That's it. That's the last call tonight.
Don't go,
oh, really?
Shauna.
Because I was going to talk to Jeff, but now that Drew says don't take another call, I might just take another call. How about that, Drew?
No.
Mm-mm. Well,
do not,
you think you can stop me? You think you're the boss of me?
No.
Yeah,
come on.
I don't think so.
That's not fair.
Sarah, 28.
Hi.
What's happening? Good. How are you doing?
Good. So basically the situation is this. I found a tape in my ex-boyfriend's VCR of me sleeping.
Ooh. Are you naked?
Yeah.
Sleeping
that's
with
it,
him?
Though?
I always sleep naked, so there's nothing unusual about that.
Wait, you were just asleep or you were having sex with
totally
him?
Totally asleep. No sex, nothing.
And did you bring this up with him?
Yeah, you know, I found the tape today, and I called him earlier this afternoon, and I was like, so I found this tape, and he's like, yeah, and he didn't know what I was talking about initially, and I had to keep probing, and then he was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. It was very weird, and...
Yeah. Well, were you on your belly or on your back? Makes a difference. What's that?
On my back.
On your back? How hot is it in your house, by the way? Just totally naked? Just, you know, legs akimbo? Just sprawled out like you had a stroke?
Well, the tape starts out with me, like, with the covers kind of on, and then...
Oh, he pulled them off.
No, it's me, like, kind of, like, kicking around and kicking the covers around, and, yeah.
All right. Is there light on? Is there light?
Is this available for me to take on location?
Yeah. It's sometimes, you know how long it takes to download porn when you're on, like, Zanumahu?
Yeah, I heard all about that.
Yeah, is Sarah, did he turn the lights on or anything?
No, it looks like it's like the infrared thing that you can get on video cameras now.
Okay, all right. So this is very intrusive. It's kind of weird. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, it's really creepy, and it made me really like nervous about. Well, are there other tapes? Like, he told me it was the only time he had ever done it. But
how long have you been with this guy?
Well, we broke up
because of this.
No, we broke up, like, 4 years ago. We've stayed, like, really good friends. We've been thinking about getting back together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And I found this tape today, and I'm like, you know, we're living together right now because
I
just got back into town.
All right. Her line's horrible, so I'm putting her on hold. But
break up.
No, you broke up. When does getting back together with someone ever work?
Yeah.
It just never does. It never does, especially when you're, you know, you break up.
Why is that? It really doesn't.
It really doesn't because there's a reason why you broke up in the first place, and that's what you needed to listen to. And the reason you got back together is because things didn't work out. So it's not because the other person got better or more attractive or settled down or you got any better or more attractive. It's just you didn't get laid for a few months, and now you're slinking back to the ex.
You know,
it doesn't
work. I disagree.
Work.
I disagree with that. That's usually the way it is, but sometimes it's not that simple.
No. What happened, Drew?
My wife and I broke up for a period of time, and it was because of me.
Well, you weren't done banging candy stripes.
And I kind of settled down and kind of figured things out as things went along.
Yeah. Let me translate. He got syphilis from his last candy striper, and he really was gut check time. A little soul searching, and then he got his wife pregnant, and then had to get married. That's what happened.
In fact, I really kind of wasn't. I wasn't really interested in getting back together, but it kind of just felt right. We kind of getting along, having a good time. You don't go seeking each other again, but sometimes circumstances bring you back together, and you think, oh my God, I missed this.
Here's the thing, though. Even looking at her thing on the screen, made a secret videotape of her sleeping. Can she trust him? Every time you ask yourself that question, you already know the answer.
Yeah. And we talk to tons of people that are like, I think my boyfriend's cheating, but I'm just not sure, or vice versa. And it's like, how can you be with someone and you don't know if they're cheating? I mean, if you have to ask that question, I agree with Jeff, you're in the wrong relationship. It doesn't mean they're cheating because you have to ask yourself that question. It just means things aren't going the way they should be or something's up with you.
And
Jeff Probst here tonight. Yes, from The Great Survivor. I see no end in sight for
really?
The Survivor. It's impossible. How could it end?
I don't know.
If it as many locations as there are, as many crazy, great-looking people as there are willing to do this, as long as you don't get, like, gored by a yak, and, well, I could always, you know, I step in. Whatever. We would do something very tasteful the very first episode.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm picturing, like, a wreath, like, floating in the ocean and some somber music, and then me going, we can't live in the past.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Jeff would have wanted us to move forward.
I like that. I like that you would think of me a little bit.
I would definitely, the first episode would be very, very touching, and then immunity challenge. Let's go. That's the way he would have wanted it. All right, Jeff is here. We'll take a little break. Drew in New York City, and we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, it's Love Line. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, somebody's
Jeff
here.
Bro.
All right. Drew, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, are you there?
Can I hear Anderson yell for it?
Yeah.
We on now?
I don't know.
I believe you are.
I heard Drew talking.
I did the intro.
Michelle, you may want to push a button or slide something.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Crying out for you, Adam. Adam.
Drew, can you hear me?
I hear you. You hear me?
No. Anderson, can you hear me?
That's interesting.
No.
I'll be Drew.
Can you hear Adam.
Don't take a call. Don't take a call.
It was. All right. Well, don't.
I don't want to take a call.
No. Nobody tells me.
No
call. A cyclone is a hurricane in the southern hemisphere. That's, Jeff didn't know that.
I can hear Jeff.
But Drew, you know what? I looked up cyclone though, and I got.
All right. Are we starting the show?
Can people hear me? Adam.
Now I hear a commercial.
This is cool.
This is good. This is good.
Do you really hear a commercial? Do you hear me?
Pots are up. All right, Drew, take a call. I'm going to push.
You hear me?
William, see what he does.
Drew, you hear me, right?
William?
I hear Anderson.
Drew, we got technical problems over here in a big way.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm hearing
I can barely. I can barely hear. I can't hear you through my headphones, or cans, as we like to call them in the business.
Okay,
but
call
I can hear it through some speaker. I get the feeling that Engineer Michelle might be able to fix this if she dumped enough coffee on one of the potentiometers over there.
Adam, I think you complained enough where it's time to just get new phone lines, man.
William?
Yeah.
There we go. What happened?
I don't know, Michelle.
Yeah. Hey, all right, so let me just
Michelle
reset.
Michelle was sweating over there, man.
Oh. Drew, you cool?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right,
here's the deal. Jeff Probst here from Survivor, my favorite show. And it is Thursday nights on CBS at 8 o'clock. And let's get back to the phone. So we got William, who's 16. Although, I just punched him randomly. I didn't really want to talk to William. Who else do we want to talk to? Ooh, here's Jenny. She has a kid with a 40-year-old guy, engaged to another girl. He's engaged to another girl? Jenny?
Yes.
You're 28?
I'm 28.
What's up?
I had a child 2 years ago. We were kind of seeing each other, and he didn't really make an effort to make it known that he likes me. So I kind of, like, went about my business.
Well, wait a minute.
Already I'm lost.
You had a child 2 years ago?
Yes.
With him?
With this guy?
With him, not knowing that it was his.
Pardon our
confusion. Did you think it was?
This other guy that I was... The beginning
pumping,
of March,
yes.
I was seeing somebody,
all right.
And I was trying to break it off with him.
All right.
And the end of March, I seen this other guy.
Okay. All right. So now what?
Well, my question is, now he knows that he's the father.
How did you find out he's the father?
We went for a DNA test.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
He's coming over to see his son next week. My question is, do I let him know how I feel?
How do you feel?
I like him, but I don't want a single...
Hold on a second. Is it Quaalude night? Everyone we've spoken to tonight is just... bad calls, bad lines. Just just people with a serious, like, three Mississippi in between every
fault.
Goddamn
I told
syllable.
You not to take any calls.
He did say that.
You think you can tell me what to do, Drew?
I'm just saying, don't take any calls.
You don't think I'm the captain of the ship?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I predicted that one.
All right. And, there you go. Now you got another call. You got another call. You want to keep going? You want a fourth call? Jenny? All right, let's pace it up, baby. Let's go. Let's break it down. It's only a two-hour show. You got a kid. Your kid's how old?
He's two.
Two. And the guy's coming over. He's 40.
Right.
And you guys broke up in the first place because of why?
Well, he didn't make it known that he was interested in me, so I didn't...
Look, you didn't have a relationship. You just slept together.
Right.
You just slept together. Okay. Right. And is he single now?
He's engaged.
And he has no idea he has a kid with you?
He knows.
He knows.
You know, all right.
Now what's he?
Yeah, they had a DNA test. He's going to come over and kick the kid's tires.
Come on, Drew, catch up.
Let's go, buddy.
You're right.
Let's focus.
And
so here's the thing: he's engaged. So I don't know what you letting him know how you feel is going to do when he's engaged to another woman.
What's he coming over for?
To see his son. But we met last month, and he told me that he really loves kids, and he really didn't want to have a child this way. And he's confused, and he doesn't know what to do, and he really liked me.
Well,
my God.
He really liked you as a friend. I mean,
yes.
And he's engaged.
Right.
Look, all right, so Jenny, yes, here's the deal. You're feeling lonely and vulnerable and all the above. This guy's engaged to another woman. He's confused. He's caught off guard. He doesn't even know he has a kid. He's going to come over there and say hi to the kid.
Right.
This is kind of between him and the kid, not really him and you.
You guys were one-night stand. I'm not sure you should really have. I mean, unless this guy's going to be in his life big time. To have a part-time father is going to be extremely destructive to this kid.
Well, how about some money?
Yeah, he has a financial responsibility, but it might be better to sort of create some sort of fantasy about who his dad was.
Are you doing this for the kid, or are you hoping that
she's
you can get him
herself.
Over there?
Yeah, of course, that's what she's doing.
I'm doing this for the kid, too.
No, please.
And when she says the kid, she means herself. Like, you know, when I say, hey, the kid really had a great radio show tonight. Am I right, brother? The kid hot. Kid's hot, huh? Am I right? That's what they mean when I say the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny, here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you get money from this guy.
Right.
And then I think you need to let him get engaged and get married and you to find another man and create a stable home for the kid, who's me.
Which is unlikely.
Boy. What's going on? What else is going on? You just confused and depressed?
I'm kind of...
All right. I don't got enough time. Here's what... I gave her the speech about picking up the pace. Yeah. Here's what she needs to do. Or, I don't know. It doesn't seem like Jenny's going to be the world's greatest mom.
Oh, no.
I'm worried about the kid.
I'm very worried.
Okay, so here are the priorities. No more kids. And see if you can get in a stable, realistic relationship with an available guy who can then be there for the kid.
Not the guys you're obsessing about. Just somebody you can create a stable, boring life with.
That's right. Write it out, and hopefully you'll be taken early.
Here, I got one for you.
What?
Speaking to the kid, name this band. The kid is hot tonight.
Oh, that'd be a little lover boy.
Come on.
I've done that song in karaoke form like 700 times.
Okay.
I did that song. I'm such a bad karaoke singer that we used to have big karaoke parties over at Kimmel's house, and I would do The Kid is Hot Tonight or... Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar,
nice.
Which is really not a dry eye in the house. and one night, it would be one of these things where, you know, we'd be eating dinner, having a few drinks, send the kids to bed about 10 o'clock, and then the karaoke would start up in the middle of Hell is for Children. Jimmy's daughter, Katie, was probably about 9 at the time, came down the stairs crying, make him stop, Daddy, stop. It's like tearing. You know, kids get, like, frustrated, and they're young, and they just had a bad dream about someone, probably some guy with a megaphone yelling at him or something, literally bawling her eyes out as she came down the stairs yelling, make him stop.
Oh,
No decorum.
This is why you don't come around my house.
Yeah. Oh, Drew, I came around your house. The kids were naked.
There were two naked.
Really?
They were two, but they were still naked.
And jumping off the furniture.
I was worried that they were going to get hurt. Drew turned his back to the children, didn't seem to care about their welfare. It was very distracting. I could barely eat. So I just sort of swore off the visits.
When is it not okay to be naked anymore?
What ages?
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew, what is the age where you got to put some underoos on?
Well, you put it on, two is when they're throwing it off, but around 8 to 10, they suddenly get incredibly modest.
It's got to go on again.
Oh, mine said, like, I'm in the bathroom. Keep the door locked. How dare you?
Okay, so that's
they're
good,
outraged.
Right?
Yeah, but then
what about swimming? Like, because, you know, they'll hit the pool up until about 10 naked, right? No, maybe about 7.
Yeah.
No,
7?
No. It comes on strong, the modesty part.
Yeah, but what age?
5 to 7 in there. Yeah.
All right. So that's when I head in and grab a beer because the show's over.
Yeah.
I'm not a pedophile, but, you know.
Until you're 25 and then the clothes start coming off.
And it comes off again. All right. We got a question for Jeff, by the way. One I'm sure he's never heard before. Someone wants to know what your favorite and least favorite... wait a minute. Who is your favorite and least favorite rock and roll Jeopardy celeb? Oh, I thought it was a Survivor question.
Oh, my God.
Who was your... A lot of people don't know that Jeff hosted rock and roll Jeopardy.
Yes, for VH1. Mm-hmm. There were some good people on there. The Mark McGrath was always a fun guest.
Yeah.
He's bright. He did so well.
The rare rock star who went to college.
Yeah.
Now he's extra. He's an extra.
He's on extra.
How fun is that?
He was great. He was like the grand champion on the show, right?
He never lost. And you know who else was really funny was Joe Walsh, because the idea of taking Joe Walsh and putting him in a game in which he not only has to read a question but then tell his brain to push a button that will light up it ain't never going to happen. And and after the first commercial, he had nothing. I don't think he had even woken
up. No, I mean, that was like a Saturday Night Live sketch, Joe Walsh on that show. It was like Sean Connery on the Saturday Night Live version of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot form a sentence,
and
right?
And he said, he goes, yeah, there's just a whole 10-year period there I don't remember.
Oh,
and
my God.
You knew he was serious.
Right.
It was a decade lost.
Right.
Least favorite was the guy from,
you know what's scary?
Poison.
Chumbawamba. Poison.
No. The guitar player.
DeVille.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, CeCe DeVille.
Yeah.
Yes.
He wouldn't shut up, and he had this voice like this he thought was so charming.
Right. Super
just
like
shut it.
Brooklyn-y, kind of just crazy voice and obnoxious, right?
Yeah.
I think he's been on this show. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's your least favorite. Yeah. Who is this?
Oh, you didn't even introduce me. My name's Hans. Hey,
Hans, what's happening?
Not too much, man. Thank you for answering my question. And I had another one for Dr. Drew and for your guest. Do you make any kind of allowances for people that are on medication if they're on Survivor? Like if they have some kind of like blood pressure medication or something?
No.
Are they allowed to take that?
No.
They're probably going to be ruled out of the show, though, right?
Yeah.
They're screened out.
Yeah. If you smoke, you better get on Nicorette soon. If you're a drinker, you know, you're going to dry up. There's no help. You get condoms, tampons, and sunscreen.
Oh, you get condoms.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we talked about that last time you were here. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Is that just a decency thing or an insurance thing or
they
what?
They want to have these people having sex, right?
Well,
that's sort of part of the
wouldn't
interest.
Be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever had full-on sex, but I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a liability issue, too.
I saw the Rupert 69 episode.
Well,
that was tough to watch, Drew. Did you ever see that? Oh, yeah. Him and he was on top of Johnny Fairplay and it was almost unwatchable.
What was this?
You're probably back at camp beating off or downloading some porn or doing some spearfishing or something. But you got to watch the show once in a while. It was controversial.
I don't remember
Very
this.
Controversial. Yeah. Big Rupert on top of Johnny Fairplay. Yeah.
Nice.
I love Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't know where the hell he is now, but I miss that kid.
That guy is a classic jackass. He is absolutely what he appears to be. You want to punch him.
Yeah.
But you want him to get back up because you want to talk to him some more.
And then hit him
again.
And
then punch him.
Yeah. Yeah, and what about how often, by the way, for the something like the All-Stars? I mean, I think it worked incredibly well. I mean, people were into it in a big way, right?
I guess.
You don't like it?
I didn't like it.
Not pure?
I just don't think you can play the game with all that personal baggage. These guys now know each other, and guys like Hatch or Colby, those guys have no chance because people are irritated that they were so popular.
Right.
Mm. Rupert would be the first one voted out in the next All-Star.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much envy about Rupert right now.
Really? Interesting.
Oh, you're America's favorite.
Oh,
really?
Interesting. So you're gone. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. On the other hand, it's really fun to watch a game. Like, it's like your team when you know your players, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really a good idea. And I don't think you could do two in a row, and I don't think you'd do one every other year, but certainly 4 or 5 years from now, you could pop another one out.
I really think we'll be on 4 or 5 years from now.
The show... Barring, you know, something horrific and a lawsuit, I don't see it ever going away. It's almost
I don't see that not happening.
Oh, that's probably this year, but just not saying anything. But it's like a game show, and that it's a great format. And as long as you have a solid host in yourself and a solid format in terms of the rules and how the show's structured, who they're always going to have hardcore fans. I just can't imagine it ever going away. At least maybe I'm saying that for selfish reasons because I enjoy it so much. All right, Jeff Probst is in studio tonight. Drew.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard me kiss this kind of ass?
I'm really amazed. Amazed. Jeff,
thank you.
Sir, yeah. Who Anderson? Yeah.
Drew, tell me to stop kissing ass.
Yeah. Stop kissing ass, Adam.
No, not going to happen.
Stop kissing ass.
No.
Don't stop. Keep it up.
Oh, yeah? Well, now I'm confused, you idiot. I'm just going to kiss ass to play it safe. All right, Jeff, loosen up the belt. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Drew in New York, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew out in New York. Drew, you're back tomorrow night, yes?
Yes.
Jeff Probst in studio tonight.
Yeah.
Best gig on television.
Next to this one.
Next to this one. Except for this one's not on TV. But, yeah, this is a great gig. Sarah Rue, who is, well, you know her from barely making a, what the hell is that show called? Yeah, Less Than Perfect. Sarah Rue. Sounds like a snack cake. Sweet as sugar, that girl. She's going to be in here tomorrow night, and Jeff in here tonight. Survivor, 8 o'clock, Thursday night. I will be watching tomorrow night, seeing the big earthquake. And what else is coming up? You can't give away too much, but you did drop some nice little tidbits last time you were in here. I think you talked about
the shark.
You talked about the shark a little bit. I think you talked about something coming up. I think it was like 3 episodes from where we were, and I remember, you know, anticipating that. Any monumental stuff coming up? Any tips? Anything?
Not really. You know, it's funny because last season there was a lot of promotable stuff, just big things you could promote.
Right.
There wasn't this season. It's a really good season, though. It's the best time I've had out there, just personally, because
really?
I like these guys so much. I just like the group a lot. And in typical Survivor form, it can't help but get dicey, you know?
Right.
By week 6, 7, you know, it's starting to heat up, and it's a great finish. It's one of the best final tribal councils I think we've had since season 1 or 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where everybody that got up had something interesting to say or ask. They delivered it well. We got a good response from the final 2, and it felt like we don't know who's going to win. You better have an answer, because I'm telling you right now, I'm going to vote for one of you two, because so many times the final tribal feels like, it's just, come on.
Right.
Well, a lot of it, sometimes it's just sour grapes where people are, you know, Drew, you'd love it because I know you hate people and the human condition, ironically. But, you know, people angry at people for playing the game, essentially.
Right. Which drives me nuts.
And I was like this guy, too. The guy's napping on the beach all day, and he's pissed off at the guy who was collecting firewood because he's a kiss-ass.
Yeah, right. You're making me look bad.
Yeah, like, which is it? Yeah. I mean, you're napping all day. Give us a break. So, again, my favorite show. I just adore the show. And now who comes up? And I don't know how much because you got to start running out of obstacle courses and games and all this crazy stuff you're doing. Who comes up with that stuff?
Well, there's a department. I mean, there's two guys in particular, John Kerhofer and Dan Mundy, and they're the challenge producers. And that's their job, is to go surf. Or go, you know, and say, hey, what about, you know.
No, you do. You have to be baked to come up with these kind of things.
Yeah. And they're good. Not only do you have to, first you have to conceptually come up with them. Then somebody has to be able to sketch how you're going to build these. And then somebody has to build them. You know, you think of some of the things that have been created out there.
Yeah.
We have a maze this season that is a vertical maze. And the way it came about was John, the head challenge guy, said, I don't want to do a maze. We've done a maze 6 seasons, 7 seasons in a row. I don't want to do another maze where we have cameras and we look. And so Mundy started thinking, and he said, what if I just invert it and I make it go straight up, a maze that's a vertical maze? And it's like it's really cool mousetrap.
Right, and you're actually climbing and doing it?
And it took a month to build. It is really cool.
Yeah, and it's not only is it built, but it's sort of Disneyland built. It looks, it's not a bunch of plywood
it
from
delivers.
Home Depot. It looks like a shipwreck.
Yep.
Hey, yes,
you need
Drew.
You need to kiss more ass and take fewer calls, okay? No calls, kiss ass.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do then. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Do it.
Bro, not going to kiss his ass, and you know what? Going to the phone, Drew. Any other suggestions? Anything else? What do you want me to do? Not punch myself in the head? Say the word. I won't punch myself in the head.
Don't punch yourself. Don't do that.
I just hit myself in the head.
He did it.
I whacked myself in the head. You want me to not hit myself again?
Don't.
Don't
do it.
There you go. Now who's got brain damage? All right. Where am I going, Drew? I'm taking a call.
You're not taking calls.
James,
Yes.
Your penis is discolored.
Yes, I was circumcised in March.
Uh-huh.
And I went in for, like, the follow-up treatment, and it was discolored, and my doctor's like, oh, don't worry about it. And a month later, it's still discolored.
Yeah, what, are you a dark-skinned person?
No, I'm white.
What happened? Wait a minute. Why'd you get circumcised in March?
Well, I was having infections and stuff, so I just
he was planning it for May, Adam, but they moved it up a couple weeks.
Yeah. All right.
Here's
so,
the deal. When you have irritation of the skin, it can either hyperpigment or depigment. And the penis at the circumcision site or... you don't notice guys can get a circumferential sort of brown spot around their penis. That's from circumcision. It's not uncommon at all.
What do they call it?
It's a pigmentation or depigmentation.
Yeah, but you called it something.
Circumferential. It goes all the way around.
Circumferential?
No, but you said something else. You can get a brown spot called a...
I think you said circumferential.
Oh.
Circumferential. I like that.
Depigmenting or hyperpigmenting. So.
But can we just settle something for any moms or potential moms listening?
Well, wait. Well, hold on a second because we got to take a break. I think I know what you're going to ask. But
what?
We will... I think it's going to be a question about should you have your son circumcised or not.
You should.
But hold on. Drew's with you. Drew's firmly in the lop-off camp. Yeah. We'll, it's like a horrible Russian camp, doesn't it? The lop-off camp. We'll take
the
quick break.
Camp.
I will cut your penis. Don't shut up.
That's Jeff Probst. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Laughing time is over.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York. We'll be back in studio tomorrow night with our guest Sarah Rue from Less Than Perfect. Jeff Probst in here tonight from the fabulous, wonderful Survivor, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS. I don't care. I'm a huge fan. Yeah, that's right. Kissing and licking. When we left off, Jeff had a question for Dr. Drew, which was circumcision or not.
Yeah. It's sort of why not circumcision is really the question, because there are significant, there are some health advantages. You don't have to get the stenosis and irritation that can occur later from tearing from the, you know, the foreskin not sort of working the way it's supposed to, which happens rather commonly. The theory is that you'd be less at risk of genital warts and thereby less at risk of transmitting that to women and putting them at risk for cervical cancer. So all things being equal, circumcision, and they do it now with anesthetic, so the baby doesn't feel anything. So kind of
here's the number one thing is the weird out the high school chick factor.
Exactly,
chicks just get weird on that stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. There's not a decision. Make your kid look like 99% of all the other kids look.
Yeah,
well
that's the
country,
thing.
Though.
It's not. Yeah. But where's your kid growing up?
Right, I understand.
Going
but
to Paraguay.
We could change it in this country, but the point is that the prevailing wisdom is that it should be done, and why not?
Let me say this. This whole thing, it was like the metric system a few years back. It was like, I remember in the 70s, it was like, hey, in 5 years, it's metric everything. It's going to be liters. It's going to be millimeters. That's all it's going to be. And if you don't know it, you'll get left behind. I remember the teacher threatening you're going to get left behind, and I always thought, I like being left behind. I'm sitting in the back of the class for a reason. I'd like you all to leave right now. I'll just stay here. Please leave me behind. It's a fantasy of mine. Everyone just get up and leave. I'm going to stay here. I'm watching. Now with TiVo, I really want to be left behind. But
you know what? I'd be angry if I didn't get circumcised and then in my adult life start having problems with tearing of the foreskin and stenosis and irritation. Now I got to take a month off and be on my back with my penis in pain.
True. You're not taking what, you think you're in traction? Injection?
I'm just saying, injection.
Like, taking a month off.
The point is,
IVs hooked up to you.
You're
miserable. Using a stroke cane for the rest of your life. You have to get around with one of those larks. Yeah.
Well, it can be pretty uncomfortable and unnecessary.
It's the weird out the high school chick factor. I agree with Jeff. You don't do anything that can soil that deal. Nothing. You want nothing that can screw it up. And then I was saying that everyone thought, well, everyone is going to be on the metric system, and no one's going to be circumcised.
Right.
And it's just, we told those Europeans to kiss our American ass. We really did.
And
we're
there's
like,
a small little group of boys right now that are going to have to, at 21, like this guy.
They're like, the smart little group's going to have to move to Europe. They're like, the guy cut 4 millimeters off the end of my penis. And I was like, huh? That's my oh, no. I got to move back. I got to move back to Europe. It really is. I really do think it's like us telling the Europeans to blow us. It really is. Learn the metric system. Cut your leave your foreskin. We'll do none of the above. Thank you, Frenchie.
So, we'll mark our society by making sure all the males don't have a foreskin.
We love inches, and we hate our foreskins. that's really what you can say about this country. All right. So the idea is do it because it couldn't hurt, as they say. And also, all you of all the guys that are in the like restore the foreskin groups, you know, the ones that are like suing their parents and using like medical tape to stretch what little left they have, and are basically walking around feeling like they're Vietnam vets who got a leg blown off in Da Nang. Please, you guys have deep psychological issues.
Put them in a room with CC DeVille.
That's right.
They all belong together.
That's right.
I've just conceived of a new aphorism. Pound and pre-pews, pure American.
That's right. That's right. Except for I'm the only one who knows what pre-pews is. You got to do better. You got to do something that's
a little more accessible.
Yeah. See, Drew.
You know what I did? I saved my dime
pre-pews?
For scale. No, my dime for scale drop. Anderson's got it.
Send me a picture of your hymen with a current newspaper with the date on the newspaper visible once a month
and a dime for scale.
That's true. Okay. Drew made a joke.
Funny.
Do you understand? Drew makes a joke about as often as the Sox win the World Series.
He really does.
I was saying to a 15-year-old girl, sounded like just albino white trash, that she was going to get pregnant in the day after tomorrow, and she said she was a virgin. And I said, I'm going to need you to take a picture of your hymen with the current newspaper at once a month so I can confirm it. And Drew said, in a dime for scale, which is bizarre, but funny, Drew. Very funny. And then we did talk about how much we love when things are photographed, like hearing aids and stuff like that. They always put any spy cameras, anything. It's always got a dime sitting next to it. And I just like them to use something else. And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe a Pez dispenser or something else, small. Well, but see, that varies.
I need
something of uniform size to let me know how small that cell phone really is. But no more change. All right, let's get back to the phones and speak to Megan, who's 20. Megan?
Yeah?
You're 20. You're bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You're Mormon.
Uh-oh.
I'm still struggling with, whether or not to go back to church, because it's kind of hard to go when, you're feeling one way and then the church is screaming another thing at
you. You're Mormon?
And I... Technically, yes, I'm still in the books. I haven't been going.
100%. 100%, Adam.
That's a drop of Dr. Drew saying, are you a Mormon?
You a Mormon?
Engineer Anderson plays. It works every single time.
People answer the drop every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, they answer the drop more than they answer you, Drew, if
Absolutely.
You think about it.
Absolutely. I think about it every time. They seem not to hear me when I'm actually speaking, but that drop they hear every time.
Yep, I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Cyber Drew so I can understand what he's saying. So, Megan, so are you angry?
Hey,
are you angry?
Listen. Quiet.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Drew's listen drop?
Yeah.
Megan, are you angry at your parents?
They haven't exactly helped. So, yeah, I mean, I understand and I totally support what they believe. And I, in great part, believe in a lot of it myself. It's just that one aspect that,
What one aspect?
What's the question?
She's just angry. Yeah, you're just angry at your parents. That's why you're bisexual anyway. Eventually you'll tell them and they'll be shocked and completed your mission.
Yeah.
They know.
Mission accomplished.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're done. Your parents tried to foist their retarded religion on you. You got angry at them and you decided to go down on chicks in order to F with your dad. So fine. Now what?
Well, the thing is that I miss a part of that. I miss a part of, the stability and the belief and the spirituality, and I've tried to, capture those parts of myself in other ways, but it's not the same. You know what I mean?
Well,
and
the church will, if my understanding is correct, they will have you back. They'll harp on you for your behaviors, but it's not like they'll reject you because of it. They don't reject people that have been drug addicted. They don't reject people. They'll try to change you, Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may be uncomfortable, but they're not going to reject you.
Well, why even bother? I mean, you're going to hell anyway.
You know what's interesting,
I mean,
Adam?
Look, I'm no theologian, but I know I'm going to hell, and I'll see you in hell.
Think about this. This is interesting. Yeah. Is that women do... Sex for women can be a vengeful drive.
Yeah.
You know, but for guys... No.
It's just a drive.
No, it's just a drive. Exactly. You can't change it. You can't. It has no rational sort of understanding associated with it.
And no, there's no venge. I mean, about the worst I did to my dad was, beat off into his toiletry kit. In terms of vengeful, in terms of using my sexuality.
Well, you weren't doing it on purpose. Vengeance. It just was just in the way. It just happened to be in the way, yeah.
It was one of these things where it's like when you're going to throw up and you just vomit in your trash can. What are you going to do? You start looking for something. It's a mess.
Right, but you didn't mean anything by it. It was not any sort of directed behavior. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to spot well the mini aqua velvet to the side of the thing. No. No, I didn't mean to do that. No, but Megan, you're not living at home, are you?
No, I'm not. And just to let you know, I didn't do it, in revenge or, to piss my parents off or anything, because I really did have a wonderful relationship with them.
All right.
Sounds like it.
And it wasn't like that at all. It's just that, and that's one thing that's, really hard for me to believe in the church, because, I'm not attracted to a penis or a vagina. that's not it.
How do your parents know that you're bisexual?
I told them.
Why?
Because... They pretty much, they had, suspicions and whatnot, and my dad and I have a really good relationship, and we sat down and he just basically said, you mean the world to me, and I know that you're suffering through something, and my suffering was through, lying to them all the time, and so...
Wait, I'm confused. Did you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I did.
Are you just lesbian? Are you lesbian, and that's that?
No, and people ask me that all the time. I wouldn't consider myself a lesbian because I don't want to limit myself like that, because I'm sure something...
All right.
We get people like this on when we're doing Survivor casting, and you'll get into a conversation like this where... And if you grill them long enough and interrogate them hard enough, you do get to the truth, and it's rarely what people are saying, what they're fronting.
Jeff, you're so right. People just espouse a lot of BS because it's sort of the politically correct sort of... scapegoat of our time. It's the way to justify what you do to make sense of it, when the reality are far deeper issues.
Well, here's the next thing, too, I've really realized for women, especially, although it holds true for guys to a certain degree, but mostly for women, which is they can now have these long-winded discussions on their sexuality where there's every ear is on them, and they're like, I don't like to be limited in my sexuality. I believe that. Oh, just shut up. Just go either go down on a chick or go 69 a raccoon or something. Just let me watch, would ya? Just shut up. I don't know, when did it become in vogue that people get to sort of espouse their retarded sexual notions all the time? And I don't believe that it's fair. And I don't judge.
I'm
okay?
limiting.
And
I want to be limited like you heterosexual.
Right. And I believe that. And it does. You know, I might be. Just shut up. Just go do what you're going to do and shut your pie hole.
If everybody would just shut up, it'd be a lot more pleasant.
It'd be great because I'd be the only one talking.
but there is always a point here. Is that people normal? Let's say people that are feeling healthy about themselves don't go broadcasting about their sexuality to their family and things.
Right. You know, here's what I think we all object to, which is I don't care what your religion is or if you have a religion at all. I don't care what your sexual proclivity is. I don't care about any of it. I'm just reacting to the part where I have to address it now because you're confronting me with it constantly.
Right.
And somehow you're the evolved one because you get to talk about your retarded sexuality constantly, and I want you to go away. I just want my goddamn TiVo. Just get your nipples pierced and go 69 bovine water yak. I don't care. Just go do it and shut up. I'm tired of everyone expressing themselves.
We accept you and love you. Now keep to yourself.
We would love you more if we didn't know what you were doing.
And no one
Look
cares.
At it that way. And nobody cares. That's the other thing. It's this sort of supreme narcissism where everyone needs to know about me and my sexuality. And, of course, how could the world continue to spin on its axis if folks didn't know where I was coming from sexually? Just here's the thing. I assume everyone's heterosexual until proven otherwise, but don't care. I just don't care.
the best conversations I have are with my buddies when you really are just honest and you're saying the dark dirt about why you just did what you did. Uh-huh. And there's no masking it. It's I did it because it was there, or I did it because I always wanted to, or whatever.
You're talking about men and sex now, right?
Yeah, typically, yeah, men and sex. But if you just take that, extrapolate that on, if you just would just get to the point, what is it you want to say, and say it, because we're wasting time, and it's all I got. I only got so many quarters to put in the meter. Don't hem-haw around. If you like women, good. If you're trying to prove something to your dad, I don't care.
Yeah, just go tell him. Let him kill himself, and we'll all move forward. All right. Jeff Probst. Jeff, you could really...
I like getting on soapboxes. That's
it's great.
Kind of
feels good.
Yeah.
Because normally you're just explaining the obstacle course,
you know,
and then
since,
doing that start
Survivor's
thing.
Ready?
Since Jeff was last on the show, I did a thing with a this cold turkey show. And on that show, I met a psychologist that did all the pre-testing psychological screening. They now have a group of guys that just do that. And he was telling me that basically all reality show contestants have virtually the same personality profile. Narcissist, borderline, sociopath, drug addict. That's
wow.
A basic profile. And if they're all the same people. It's amazing. These are the people that self-refer and, more importantly, get on reality television.
Okay, that's a bit of a generalization, but...
No, he'd actually done the testing. It was not a generalization because here's the data.
Who was it? Do you remember
I forget the guy's name, but he'd done like about 80% of all the reality shows. As a young guy, nice guy, very smart guy.
True. And, a guy farts and you hear drug addict.
Yeah, I was
going to
say the drug addict thing and sociopath.
No, not actively, but that's sort of the basic profile. It's a borderline narcissist.
I'll tell you, it is true that in general, the best, most memorable characters have either very high or very low IQs, and mm-hmm. in their personality, their psychological profiles, whereas, you know, Drew might just sort of float in the middle. A little high, a little low here and there. These guys spike. They're very high or they're very low.
Right. Yeah. We talk to people when they're low, bottoming out, as a matter of fact.
Don't take a call.
Listen, you think you can tell me this?
Yeah, don't take a call. I've been here for an hour. I feel like I have some involvement. Please don't take a call.
I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm a fan. I was a fan of the show. But I don't come out to Vanuatu and tell you how to run your show, and I appreciate it if you'd, you know, afford me the same courtesy when you're on my island. You understand? And for that, I'm going to take a call. I'm taking a call. I'll tell you that right now.
How dare
Sally?
You.
Sally?
Yes.
Yeah, they said I couldn't talk to you, but you know what? I defied them all because I'm a rebel. And you know what? I'm a rambling man. That means I got to leave at midnight because I got to ramble home. And kiss my wife's ass.
You know when to hold and you know when to fold.
That's me.
Whoa.
Hey, Sally, hold on. I was just thinking to myself. Kenny Rogers, it's great. He wrote a song about gambling in 1969, and now he's the spokesperson for all gambling. And I think I need a song because you are just feathering your nest for the future. That's it. I mean, he wrote that, you know, you got to know when to hold them.
When to hold them.
When to fold them. That song is 25 years old, and now it's like anytime there's like hey, we want to start a casino. Well, who do we get? The Gatlin brothers? No, what do you mean? We got to get Kenny Rogers. He sung that one gambling song in 1974. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll get Kenny, agent on the phone. We got another gambling spot for you to. He's the authority on gambling now because he wrote a song. He probably didn't write it.
Yeah.
Charlie Price wrote it in 68, and he covered it in 74, and now he's making millions just doing. He's opening casinos. Drew, what would my song be? That's what I'm saying to you.
They'll never heal.
Not sure if my balls are is going to make me millions down the road, but
is gay.
Oh, maybe that. Sally?
Yes.
All right, so you're 27.
Mm-hmm.
Calling from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yeah. What's up, baby doll?
Well, I have some weird sexual things going on with me, and I'm just wondering, you know, why I am the way that I am.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
First, I can remember actually having orgasms, like, from the time I was, like, 7 or 8 years old before I even knew what they were.
That mm-hmm. does happen to some women. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything other than you're just a little bit different biologically.
Okay. And also, I can't have an orgasm unless I'm fantasizing that the person is overpowering me. But it mm-hmm. still has to feel good. I have to feel like they're making it feel good, and I don't really want it, but it's out of my control. I can't help it because...
Do you have some reason to feel sort of shameful about your sexuality? That, in other words, sometimes this means, occasionally, that you feel sort of uncomfortable about being sexual, and if somebody else takes that over, you don't feel ashamed any longer because you're out of control. It has nothing to do with you. Somebody else did it to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
is that relatable?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Is that true?
She's from Pittsburgh. Yeah. Here's the thing. You always float that theory, but I really think it's more that women like being taken. And then
right. There is a natural tendency for that, but if she's bothered by it and can't, it's a fetish, then it's sort of like, that's in the sexual abuse range. That's maybe shameful about sex, maybe, shamed about it in some way. And maybe just, what?
If I was feeling shameful about it, I mean, I'm in a relationship with a guy I've been living with for 7 years. And, I'm completely comfortable sharing this with him, and he knows about this.
All right.
Drew, can you...
Go ahead, Jeff.
I have a question. Can you fantasize about a scenario so often that it just becomes habitual, that that's what you need, just
like... Yes. It's a fetish, then. It's a fetish. And that's what fetishes are. They're ways of distancing yourself from difficult feelings. And yes, while she feels comfortable superficially with her sexuality, the part that is uncomfortable for her, she escapes by turning it over to him. He takes me. It has nothing to do with me. He just makes me feel this way. And
hey,
that's
Sally?
The part where she's uncomfortable.
Sally?
Yes?
You sound depressed. You having problems? You've been with a guy for 7 years? Are you married?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It just hasn't happened yet.
He's not interested in getting married.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's good. Now, what's wrong? Is life going okay? It sounds bad.
Yeah. I mean, other than financial problems.
Were you abused growing up?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Were you shamed in some way about sexuality? Was there a sort of hyper-religious environment or anything like that?
No. As a matter of fact, my parents were always very open about it. Even when I was growing up, my dad told me that any questions I had, I could ask him.
How old were you when he said that?
Oh, I don't know. I was probably pretty young, actually.
Were you exposed to sexual material at a young age?
Yeah, I can and he was. He could also be very crude in how he explained.
Yeah, see that's
creepy.
That becomes really almost a sort of sexual abuse of sorts. If you're exposed to materials like that for kids before the age of 12, and discussions and overt sexuality can be very, very traumatic.
Yeah.
What? She saw pornography or something?
I don't know. I was just thinking
and
about
of course,
my grandma
used
to walk around nude.
Oh, boy.
It really
But you see
me.
You see pornography at the young
really
age.
Did.
It becomes shattering. You become frightened
close my
by
eyes. I can see the gray pubes. I can see them. I swear I can see them.
Is this another case of what we were just talking about, though, that Sally knows the answer? If we depressed a little further and just said, what is it? She's got to know what the deal is.
Well, the deal is she saw this traumatizing material at a young age, and people don't, however, really realize what's happening to them. They distance themselves from the experience, and then it becomes sort of implicit in their behavior and their memory systems and how they act out their sexuality. And they're not really aware of it anymore. It's just how they, how their sexuality emerges. And this is the case with Sally. In Adam's case, he's because of the trauma about the pubes, he has to focus up top, and he became the big top guy.
Well, I like a busty woman.
That takes your eyes away from anything below, and so you're not so traumatized anymore.
Yeah. I want them to wear a diaper.
The question Sally wants to ask, I think, is not why, but how do I change it?
All right, Sally?
That's my psychic ability.
Okay, you sound depressed. It sounds like your childhood was less than perfect. It also seems like you're in a stagnant relationship. You've been living with a guy. You've been with him for 7 years. Seems like you'd like to get married and move on with things. I suggest either he S's or gets off the pot.
Yeah.
I suggest you actively do something about your financial situation, like get a better job or get a little job training or something like that. And then thirdly, maybe opening yourself up to looking into your past just a little bit and, not saying that your dad was sort of euphemistically an open guy or not uptight,
right.
But maybe he had a couple beers and got out of line, at least verbally, a few times.
Yeah, would say stuff that didn't really sensitive to how it affected a young girl growing up. That's the reality of what happened here.
All right, let's talk to Dan real quick before we go to break. He has a question for Jeff, which I'm sure he's heard before, but ask again. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was wondering, this is for Jeff and Adam, if Jeff, has Survivor ever planned on having a celebrity Survivor? And if so, Adam, would you do it?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, in the beginning we did. After season two, when it was really big and it, you know, beat Friends and it was the most watched show, everybody was talking about that. And the problem was lining up schedules with actors who have little hiatus windows, but then they get a movie and they can't promise they'll do it and all that. We probably wouldn't do it now, but...
No. To me, the show has a sort of purity to it that... And plus, since then... There's been other attempts at these sort of a celebrity get me out of here kind of debacles that fell flat on their face. Although, albeit you could argue that they didn't actually have celebrity. You know, Nikki Ziering's sister is not exactly what you call it.
Well, and they caved into them. Those guys complained and got tents, and then they complained and they got food. It wasn't But would you do it?
I would definitely consider it. I'm not big a fan of the show, but it is a hairy show. I mean, the idea, you know, just seeing the bugs crawling around is enough to freak me out. But now I didn't know you got condoms, so you know that I could be back on. All right, I would definitely give it some consideration. Here, the real question is, you wouldn't want, but I'd be way down on the list of guys you'd be going after. Believe me, you would start at the top, and by the time you got to
top?
Your fantasy answer would be, you know, John Travolta and whoever, but then realistically, that would never happen, and it'd probably be like, what Bonaducci said, no, get Carolla on the phone. That's how it would work. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Jeff Probst in studio tonight from Survivor. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew back in studio tomorrow night in New York City tonight.
Yep.
Jeff Probst in studio tonight. Sarah Rue coming in from Less Than Perfect tomorrow night. Of course, talking about Survivor tonight. And excited about tomorrow night's show. Big earthquake. Big earthquake. 5.9. And I don't know what there is to knock over on that island.
Coconuts.
But coconuts. I just love to see that Nauru guy run. What's his name? Da ran right up the. He ran up the tree, Drew, like a squirrel. He ran up that tree. I don't know what there. It must have just been nothing but black ball sack to anyone who was underneath him. I know that sounds crude, but an eclipse of sack must have been.
I remember the Rupert Johnny Fairplay thing now.
What happened?
They went down the netting type of thing.
I told you. Yeah. I told you get to it. Ronnie?
Oh, yes.
29.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
How you doing? Well, I just wanted to call, and I was talking to the screener earlier.
I don't believe him already.
Well, I hear it.
You do, Drew?
I
believe
it.
Him. I
what
just
else
don't
we
like
do?
Him.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. I know you don't like him.
All right, Ronnie, go ahead.
I've just been waiting for a long time. I just got to my house. I'm outside of my car talking with you guys.
Okay.
What's the question?
Okay. I just got back with my she's actually the mother of my son.
Mm-hmm.
And we were apart for, you know, a couple of years, and you know, we were very sexual before, and you know, just for other issues we separated, and I went, you know, I was out of the state, and I'm back, and so anyway, we're back together.
Florida.
We had a threesome. We had mm-hmm. we just
whoa,
a threesome.
Whoa.
That's you your girl and your son.
No.
No. Oh, okay. Well, no, you're uptight.
Why did you separate? Why were you apart?
I had to go out of town for family.
Wait a minute, stop. Yeah. Why did you break up?
It's all night with these calls.
I know, but listen.
Get to it.
Jeff, I like Jeff because he doesn't like survivors. He doesn't like Love Line callers. He doesn't like anybody. He's angry. I like that. We can hang out. Just yell at people. You and I should just drive around while I yell at people while we're on the road.
But here's the deal. He's saying he just, you know, why did you break up with this woman?
Well, Drew, you know what it's like. You have relatives on the East Coast. You got to visit them for like a Memorial weekend. You break up with your girl. You get a divorce, right?
Exactly.
You go out of town. You see some relatives.
Right. Sure. So what's the deal? Why did you break up?
Okay. Well, we broke because we were young. You know, we were just young. We were young when we got together. And, you know, and
you didn't want to be with her. You decided you were done with her. That's fine. Why don't you come out and just say that at the beginning? You wanted to leave. All right, so you left, and then you decided to come. You decide, yeah, please, honest, that we're looking for. And then you came back, and then how long have you been back with her?
We've been, you know, back with each other for about, I don't know, I'd say about good maybe four months.
And immediately went into the threesome thing.
No. This was just over the weekend, this past weekend.
All right, well, that's the end of that. This guy's going to screw you up.
Who is the threesome with?
With a friend of hers from work. She's
a male? No.
A female. No.
Female.
Who wanted it?
Well, you know, we just always, we talked about it, you know. And
She's looking for trouble. She is looking for trouble. And he's open for anything, and she's looking for trouble, so.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So she wants most erotic and most threatening experience simultaneously.
Great. What's the reason to get mad at you, Jeff?
What she's doing now is I notice she's just calling her more, you know, when she's like home or we're out somewhere and she's calling her or vice versa. But I don't know if I should just be worried about it or just kind of go with it. And
all right, listen, Ronnie, first off, do the kid a favor. Give it to like some hyenas. Throw it in a hyena cage at the zoo and give the kid a shot at decent childhood. Would you please, you two knuckleheads raising this kid? You're 29, for Christ's sake.
I mean, we're good parents, though. I mean,
you're the best. None better.
Oh, yeah. You've left for how many years? That's every parent should leave for numbers of years, especially the dads.
No, nobody better.
I was out of town for a couple of months, and that just kind of put the icing on the cake, but I've always been there for my son.
Sure. Someone's got to hand you a towel when you're banging someone from work.
Another guy who knows the answer to his question.
Yeah. Listen, Ronnie.
Who needs the show?
Should I be worried about the calls?
You may be right. Hey, Ronnie, look, here's the thing. You're 29. You sound like you're 21. Get it together, brother. This relationship probably never was meant to be, but unfortunately you have a kid now. So you have to both, on behalf of the child, start acting like people that are, a couple months from 30 rather than just getting out of a summer camp in 14. For the love of Christ.
And she clearly is into a lot of chaos. She's mad at you, and she's threatening you with this relationship with this girl, which may or may not be real. Who knows?
Ronnie,
knows? All chaos.
You must sell something for a living. What do you sell? Yeah.
I actually just help people with their finances, believe it or not.
Really? You're not selling
You don't
anything?
Sell financial products.
What's that?
You don't sell financial products.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. There's something, you're a salesman because you're one of these guys who has a rap. You ask a question, then you give the answer for it. You're going to screw the kid up. And by the way, is it a girl?
Boy. It's a boy.
Oh, it's a boy? Good. Yeah. They'll just be a gangbanger or something. Girl goes right into pornography. All right, Ronnie. Get it together. Stop acting out. No more threesomes.
No more threesomes.
That's it. And focus on your kid. And look, we hear this rap every night. It's like, I'm a raging alcoholic.
I'm a
junkie.
Addict.
I just
great
turned
parent.
Over Circle K. I lit a bum on fire. I'm a great parent. Look, first off, you can't be a great parent if you're a horrible person.
I was just thinking that you've got to be a great person and you've got to be able to sustain in a great relationship. That's what makes a great parent. That's it.
I'm a rapist.
That's it.
Drew, please.
No, that's it. Everything else is evidence of you not being a great parent.
Yeah, I don't know. And by the way, so according to your logic, the guys who give to the March of Dimes and work the 50-hour weeks and volunteer down at the homeless shelter are horrible parents, or do they get to be great parents too? Is everyone's a great parent? You're junkie. You're whoring out your wife. You kicked a puppy and put the M80 in the ass of a kitten. But great parent. Oh, great, Great. Now I got to go to a Klan meeting. Great parent. Got to go to. I'm going to swingers club with my old lady.
Great parent.
I'm banging my the bejesus out of my secretary.
She's
handicapped. Great parent. I just ripped off a guy on a car warranty, but great.
I moved to Florida for three years.
Moved to Florida, ignored the kid. Oh no, great. I'm great. You loving your kid is not being a great parent. You actually expressing love to your kid is what makes you a great parent. Yes,
Drew? Do you remember the guy in Florida that was driving us around was telling us what a great parent he was, and he was in Florida once a year in Michigan.
Like a kid in Michigan. Yeah, it was great dad. But by the way, it's easy to be great the one day you see. Here's what it is. It's like, well, I see the kid once a year.
We go to Knott's Berry Farm,
and then TGI Fridays for Bloomin' Onion and All He Can Eat. So, okay, one day, yeah, you're a great parent. It's like I'm the world's greatest employee. The one day I showed up for work, I showed up early, and I got all my work done.
Same thing.
Yeah, but you got to show up the next Monday. No, greatest employee. Employee of the year right here. Showed up early.
Boss had it in for me.
Didn't even steal any copy or toner. What an employee I am. What a dad you are. Please. And by the way, who are you assholes talking to, for Christ's sake?
Would you listen
to yourselves? You live in Florida. Your kid lives in Michigan. You're a great dad? Or maybe their logic is, well, I'm an alcoholic and I'm sexually abusive, so I'm a great dad by staying away from my kid. Maybe that's it, Drew. Maybe that's the twist we don't know about.
I think the real twist is that their father was a physically abusive alcoholic, and therefore they would have rather had the dad be absent, so they're going to give that gift to their child.
Right. I'm giving you the gift of absence because I can't beat you from Florida. Fantastic. All right. That should be the Florida bumper sticker, by the way. You can't get beat from Florida. Welcome, deadbeat dads. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Jeff Probst, you can't
beat our deadbeat dads.
Yeah, no, that's no. good. Yeah. That's or maybe
True. That's
maybe
not it's, bad. That's catchy.
Florida, come for the waffles, stay for the deadbeat dads. All right, we'll work it out, Drew. Jeff Probst here from Survivor. That is CBS on Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. Big earthquake episode tomorrow night. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York tonight. Going to be back in studio just in time for Sarah Rue tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst in studio tonight. Big fan.
Woohoo! I forget. I get caught up in listening to the show. I'm sitting in here and just like I do every night, listening to you guys dispense advice.
Jeff admitted during the commercial, Drew, that he listens to the show before he goes to bed at night.
No.
Yeah.
I listen to this and I wake up to Sir and I will admit it.
Yeah.
It's true.
You're gay.
this is the last thing he does before he takes the choker off and.
Did he wear the choker for you tonight?
He's wearing, it's not the tight, I like the tight choker, but this is just sort of the, I think it's the one with the roach clip on it that CBS doesn't let him wear on air.
It's the marijuana leaves.
But, the last thing he does is listen to a little love line. God bless you. All right, and for that, you get a plug. Survivor, Thursday nights.
Woo.
Yeah, Thursday nights on CBS. Big earthquake one tomorrow night. I will be watching. I can guarantee you that. All right.
Hey,
so,
guys, real quick. Yeah. Could I ask a question of Jeff, perhaps?
Whoa.
Sure, engineer. Wait, wait a minute. This has never happened before.
But I listen and watch the show every Thursday. So I always wonder how much of those the challenges are edited down, how long those things actually take.
Yeah, some of them are edited down quite a bit. Some of the challenges will take 20 or 30 minutes, and you'll see, you know, a three-minute challenge. It just, you know, the ones that are underwater, some of the times it takes them forever to get out to the water and back or, you know, canoeing.
Because you can tell they're just dying at the end, but, I mean, there's no way that they could die that much in 3 minutes, so I was wondering. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, some of them go on. I'd say the longest is usually, you know, 30 or 40 minutes.
I just like the guys. The gig that I want is the test guy.
Yeah,
the guy.
That's what you said last time.
They show the feet on the balance beam. They show the guy.
But you know what? I think I told you this. We hire these young
interns. I think
he said. Yeah, basically interns, and their job is just to break the challenge. It's a great job.
And will you modify it on the fly? Like you have a guy 20 years old. He's athletic. He's got good coordination. You set up the obstacle course. He does it. it's a little too easy.
Sure.
Or he can't make it over a barrier. You'll just go ahead and modify it a little bit,
that's
right?
That's what we're doing out there for the week before the challenge
Tweaking
runs.
It. And the you know, it's amazing, too, that they're able to get the sort of parity with the women versus the men, because you'd say, oh, well, the ladies don't stand a chance on this one. First off, they've won most, or at least the first couple challenges. And then secondly, they're a little bit better at the puzzle solving and
balance
and things like that. So it's kind of interesting that you think it's a foregone conclusion that these guys are going to win, and oftentimes don't. And the guys are heavier and start arguing. They got a guy with a fake leg on this year, Drew.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
And he is very agile. He's amazingly swift and good on his feet.
Yeah, he moves well. All right, you ready to keep rolling here, Drew?
No, do not keep rolling. Friend? Do
I'm
not.
Gonna. Do I'm, not. I'm gonna. You can't stop me. Grace?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Every single call has been bad quality, hasn't it?
Yeah. All right. Grace, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, what's up, baby doll? Where are you calling from, your cell phone?
Yeah.
All right. You just
pull over or something?
She's rambling.
Yeah, pull over. Pull over, yeah.
All right.
You,
ID, please.
You just hooked up with your female friend?
Yeah. Well, we made out. I don't know what you want to call it, but we made out.
You just kissed.
I'm living with my boyfriend right now. We've been dating about 7 months, and ever since, well, not like every time we have sex, but there's been quite a few times since I made out with my friend that I've been like imagining that it's either her or a different girl.
Are you mad at your boyfriend about something?
No, I wasn't mad at him. Like, we weren't like having the best time, but
what's the problem? What's going on?
I don't know. Well, like, I'm just afraid that, I don't know, I'm kind of concerned that maybe I'm a lesbian and I don't know it, or,
What's going on with your boyfriend? What's
the problem? Who cares? I got a better question.
Look, that's the issue.
All right, but we're not going to get to that.
Why? Look, you said things are not going well with the boyfriend. What's the problem?
Well, I don't know. Like, we just haven't been getting along too great.
Why? Describe that. What does that mean?
Please, Drew, would you go smack your head against a locker?
It would be easier. Yes.
It'd be better. Yeah. More gratifying.
Yes, it would.
By the way, when they invented lockers, who knew they were going to take such abuse? People punching them, people whacking their football helmets against them, guys throwing stuff at them. I mean, when you invented a locker, you think, well, here's a nice thing. I'm going to make a nice contribution. Yeah, you got a little code thing. The guys can keep their shorts in there. Who knew people would be beating the crap out of them?
It's part locker, part drum, you see.
Really? And that a locker would be responsible for so much mental trauma. Think how many kids were pushed up against a locker by the bully.
Yes,
or thrown into lockers. Those bastards who made those lockers should be locked up with CeCe DeVille and who else?
Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh. Okay.
And Johnny Fairplay in their own locker. Wouldn't that be poetic
justice?
And all
the guys have foreskin.
That's right.
Just
the foreskin. All right, now hold on a second. Stop talking to Grace. Let me talk to Grace. Grace.
Yeah.
When you fantasize about being with the girl when you're with your boyfriend, how do you explain the penis? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I know. But, like, I just imagine that it's like a strap-on or something like that.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
hey, Grace, is making out with your female friend, was that cheating?
He thinks it would be. That's why I haven't told him. He doesn't know that it even happened, but he considers it cheating, but I don't.
How do you know? Did you happen to bring it up to him to test him? What would you say if?
Yeah.
One of those sorts of discussions?
Like his ex-girlfriend, it happened to him with her, and
imagine that.
He broke up with her over it.
Okay. So look, Grace, I think maybe this relationship is done.
Yes, that's
you're angry, you're having fantasies about women, you are cheating, albeit it's not egregious, but you're, being intimate with other people.
Heterosexual women commonly retreat to women when they're being brutalized in some fashion in their relationship.
Well, I'm not being brutalized, like he's not beating me up or anything like that.
I'm being overly sort of maybe dramatic with that, but they're being they've made to feel bad in the relationship, they'll retreat.
All right, I feel bad because William's been on hold for 118 minutes.
Wow.
He was the first call, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, he was? He was the guy I talked to at the very beginning?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's cold.
All right, I'm sorry, William. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry, brother, man.
That's all right. Hey, I just got hired at a L.A. Unified School District, and I'm making like $200 a week, and my mom wants to take 50% out of my paycheck, and I was just wondering, is that fair? Because I think I'm earning the money. I should be able to keep it.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You're 16.
I'm just an assistant helping around at the actual district, and my mom's on the line right now, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. She's been on hold for 118 minutes, too?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to try to go fast and just call her William's mom.
Okay.
William's mom?
Yes.
All right. You're there. Now, William is 16. He's bringing home a couple hundred dollars a week.
A potential job, yes. And, I'm sorry?
And you would like, you think you're entitled to half of that money?
That's correct.
For living expenses for the two of you, or so he can put it away in a college account or something?
Well, I'm a single mom of three. I work only 5.5 hours a day. I also work for a school district, but it's not a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I struggle with all three of my kids. No help from dad. I don't think I'm being unfair. I've raised William. I've done the best I can. I still, drive a 1986 car, and I think I should be able to keep half of that. He eats like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all right.
that alone would cover maybe the groceries.
Here's the thing, William's mom. Here's the problem. You're going to end up getting $450 out of him. He's going to end up spending $20,000 in therapy and resentment for the rest of his life. That's the problem. On the other hand, if you really need the extra $300 or $400 a month to make ends meet, then that's a necessity. Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, you got to do what you got to do. And William, unfortunately, you got a tough hand dealt to you. Your dad abandoned the family, and now sort of you're taking on a parental role, and you're going to have to contribute. Ultimately, William, I can guarantee you it will make you stronger and better. Yeah. Every successful entrepreneur has this story. It was never, we had it great. It was cushy. It was a wonderful life. I had a silver spoon in my mouth. No, they grow up hungry, and they understand what it's like and the value of a dollar and what it's like to work early. So, William, as much as you may resent it, she may end up teaching you some valuable lessons about life. And if she needs it, she needs it. Maybe you guys strike a bargain. Maybe
not 50%. Right. Maybe 25% or something.
Yeah, give her $50 every week, and that'll be her tidy.
Right. Hey, all right, be careful that he doesn't build resentments against you and the other kids.
We'll have a take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Well, that's the show. Oh, so many questions, so little time. I want to thank Jeff Probst for coming in tonight from The Great Survivor.
I did a lousy job of promoting Survivor.
That's all right.
Oh, are you kidding? Adam did it for you.
700 times. Yeah. Yep, Thursday nights, everybody. CBS. Okay, 8 o'clock. Big earthquake tomorrow. Look out. Sarah Rue on tomorrow night. And Drew, give me a call.
I'm going to.
You got your old lady with you?
No.
Good. Cut that bag loose. Where are you going by? It's 3 a.m. over there. You swing by Scores, have a little nightcap before you pop into the room?
You know me. That's what I always do. Yeah.
We'll take a little extended 22-hour break. We'll be back tomorrow night with Sarah Rue. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla.
See you, Drew.
For Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I will cut your penis.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.